Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, we have got a great good news segment for you today. If you are anything like me, you have done this. Somehow you've either shopped online or you have shopped somewhere and you thought, I'm buying that name brand thing. Oh my gosh, I love it. It's beautiful. But wait a minute, it's $20. That's like a $200, but it's $20. I'm getting such a deal. And I'm guaranteed it's not a knockoff. I am guaranteed it is the original. And that is what I believe. In the world we live in today, there are so many options you're going to have this holiday season. Today's show with Paul DePonte, accomplished nonprofit leader, award-winning consumer advocate, and pioneering communicator. He knows what this conversation is about. He's also was appointed to head the National Crime Prevention Council in 2021. But the conversation today is this, everybody. We can still have a fabulous holiday season. It is still choose the season to shop, but to shop smart. Paul, right? It is that season. And I'm not alone. When I say we have all been there, I have, and I know better, and I go buy the thing, and I know it's not a brand, but I still think it is. We've all been there.
Well, you know, sadly, that's true. It's the amount of fake products have proliferated the marketplace and have been growing exponentially since more and more consumers are shopping online. It's easy for people to hack into our supply chains, to ship, to take electronic payments, and take our money for things that we don't, for something that we don't really believe we're buying.
Yeah. I want to get right to it because I know these are short interviews. Now, the thing I was buying was what people call a purse, pocketbook, whatever you want to call it, backpack, things like that, right? And they always have their little label on it or their little bronze little tag on them, right? And, you know, those are one of the things that people look at and they say, oh my God, what about? But what is on your top list of gifts that people are most likely to be duped when they buy this season?
Well, you know, there are a lot of things, and it could be just about any product. Some very popular ones are clothing, apparel, sneakers. You mentioned handbags, electronic devices, which are also dangerous. Imagine faulty wiring or bad lithium batteries. And it ranges beyond just even consumer products. Even hospital supplies are being faked.
That's shocking to me.
It is very shocking and very dangerous.
How do they do that, Paul?
You know, the manufacturers of fake products are not just somebody working out of their garage anymore. These are global international cartels. They're big business. Overall, fake products around the world account for about $2 trillion each year. That's a huge business, and that's a drain on our economy. It's a drain on American jobs, as well as posing dangers to consumers. And worst of all, if you buy fake products, you're putting money into the hands of criminals who are doing all sorts of untoward things with that money, investing it in child labor, drug trafficking, human trafficking, fake firearms, and all sorts of things that criminals are prone to do. And it's the sale of fake products that is funding criminal enterprises around the world.
I could have a whole show with you and talk about the state of affairs that online buying has caused. We can do that. I don't want to do it because I'm telling you, I play a sport professionally.
You know, right?
And I've even done it. I've gone online to online buying and I've spent a third of what this sports tool cost, but it wasn't real.
It wasn't the real thing.
It wasn't the real thing.
You know, and you mentioned sporting goods.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever you play any sport, there's a risk of injury.
If you're,
if you're playing with fake products, they haven't been safety tested. They're they're made with shoddy materials, and the chances of an injury increase, and the chances of the injury becoming more severe. Fake bicycle helmets are a common product that is manufactured by cartels. They're sold cheaper. They're sold with dangerous materials. Bicycle accidents are the fifth leading cause of pediatric emergency room admissions. So if you're wearing a bike helmet, gives the child some protection. If they're wearing a fake helmet, it's going to make a bad situation worse.
Yeah. I cannot even believe you bring this up. I come from a Harley-Davidson family, and I just had this conversation a couple of months ago with a friend of mine. And I said to here's what I said. I said, dude, you just paid 20 grand for like that beautiful bike and you went cheap
on
your helmet. And I guarantee you that is not like a real motorcycle helmet.
Yep. And it is, you know, it's being penny wise and pound foolish. It's the other thing too, the old adage, if it sounds good to be, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
The other part of this problem is, for me, this is we're talking about products that come in the United States and they erode our economy. I really have to say it. You know, they really do. And then you end up buying something you didn't, you're not happy about, you didn't buy it. But there's another thing. How do we stay on high alert? I want to help people today just not do this. How do we help them not do it?
You want to spread the word. We have a whole campaign called Go For Real, which we have McGruff the Crime Dog, who teaches teenagers, teens, adults, everyone can learn how to be a Duke detective. Look for the clues to spot. Look for the website that looks a little off, the logos that are a little off color. All those tips, you start following those, you're going to increase the chance that you are protecting yourself.
Yeah. The other thing that I've learned too is when you go to second party sites or third party sites, they usually have some safeguards. I'm not saying they all have, because I actually went to this site, but they have some safeguards. They have places where you could go to say, wait a minute, I need to report this person. And usually scammers don't go to those sites. They wouldn't put themselves on a prime site where there are safeguards by that company to say, oh, you're not for real, you're for real, right? But we,
that's right.
We don't even think about that, Paul, because we want the best deal.
You want the best deal, but you know, before you give them your credit card number, spend an extra minute or two to check out to make sure there is an address you can contact them for a return. If there's no way to contact them for a return or to make a return, you don't want to buy that product. Because chances are, 99%, it's fake.
I love that we're talking about this. The other thing, let's talk about this. If you don't see a phone number or even a chat box, what are you thinking right there?
That's a good point. You want reputable companies want to give consumers information. They want to be helpful to the consumer. Fakers and scammers, they're concerned about taking your money, making a quick buck, and moving on. Sometimes you might go back a week later and you'll see that website is shut down because law enforcement or somebody's on to them.
Yeah. What is the best way for people to find out? Because there's other sort of scamming that we're not going to get to. I touched upon this morning. I am a big fan of the United States Patent and Trademark Office. I am such a big fan.
Well,
and
so are we.
People get really scammed out. But how do they find out more about what they can do today?
Well, we are working very closely with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to create the Go For Real campaign. You can visit us. You'll see McGruff the Crime Dog. He can help teach you how to avoid fakes and be a dupe detective at ncpc.org/goforreal. Again, that's ncpc.org/goforreal.
Yeah. So I want to just keep a sense that I want you to kind of bring it home with me here. You know, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, it's not going to happen. Okay, it can happen to everybody. I consider myself well-informed. I'm telling you, it can happen to anybody. But, you know, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars. We're talking about IP infringement. We're talking about counterfeits, you know, over 3%. You know, we're talking about almost 8% globally. We're talking about buying from places or countries that you have no idea from. But let's just caution people now. You may think you're going to do this for yourself and may be willing to take the risk, but do not do this for your children. Hello, Paul.
Absolutely. And teach your children. They want to learn. Children don't want to be duped. They don't want to be the kid in school walking down the hallway with a fake jacket or a fake pair of sneakers on. They want the real thing, and they're smart. And I think if parents and children work together, we'll beat these scammers. Part of it is, for too long, it's been viewed as a victimless crime. Oh, I just got a good deal on a handbag. Oh, no one's going to know it's not fake, whatever. But that money that you paid on that handbag is fueling a global criminal enterprise that is doing all sorts of horrible things.
And I'm telling you, we all fall for it. I play a sport called table tennis. I play professionally. I'm pretty good at it. And you go to a competition and Mizuno is there. And you've got the Mizuno sneakers on. You're very happy about it. You want to show them, right? You just won 3 gold medals, like if you're me and you're showing them. And the guy says to you, did you notice that Mizuno is spelt wrong?
Exactly.
Thank you for this message. We have to take an extra moment, don't we?
We do. Just take, and those few minutes can save you money, save you, give you protection, and possibly save you from injury or something worse.
Yeah. So many things to pay. Please pay attention to details. The Nike logo goes one way. It doesn't go the other way. Paul, what's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with? And please mention the website again.
The website again is ncpc.org/goforreal. And just a word of encouragement, you're smart, so buy smart.
So doing it. Thank you, Paul. I want to thank you and your team for taking this message out there. Thank you for pointing out the safety features, because I don't think any of us really plan to do unsafe things. I don't think we do.
Exactly right.
He's on watch, I'm telling you. Paul's on watch. Hey, thank you all. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our good news segment. Now, okay, let me just preference this segment with the following statement. And this is what I said to Dr. Catherine Tomasino just 2 seconds ago. We don't want all of you to have to get really sick to appreciate what we're about to say. However, that was my journey. And what we're about to say is so absolutely forward-looking, and yet it is so timely. The effect that psychological factors have on our gut health. This is what this expert, this doctor, is coming here to share. Tips how to handle holiday stress for the season. Now, for those of you, I'm just going to say this, you can go look at Dr. Tomasino's research. You can go, and we're going to make sure you get there. You know, when you want to find out more, you could go to our friends that we have been and interviewed, the folks right there at Northwestern Memorial Hospital, where this amazing Dr. Tomasino is the co-director of behavioral medicine for digestive health program. Many years ago, when I ventured into the study of psychology and I studied something that was very stressful, I had no idea that it would lead to the conversation today. Dr. Tomasino, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I got to start out with a question. There's always a story behind the person. I want to know, I know what today is. I know this is an important day, this date.
But I want to know from your perspective and where you sit, what touched your heart to have this become such a passion for you?
No, I specialize in working with patients with medical conditions more broadly. And over the last 7 years, I've really been focusing on working with patients with gastrointestinal conditions. And it's just such a need. So we see this impacting really everyone. You know, the brain-gut connection is real and affects all human beings. Mm-hmm. And then you add in there just the prevalence of chronic digestive health conditions and the need for more providers like myself. So that's what really brought me here, is that there was a need and I was seeing it every day in practice and wanting to learn more and specialize in this so I could help people reduce suffering.
Yeah, it is really what I like to call a dividing factor. You know, when you do research, there are things we call things, right? We call them moderators, we call them mediators. But the bottom line is, we're going to talk about some factors that affect gut health, because the expression, it all begins in the gut, is really for real. But let's talk about factors. And thank you for your passion and purpose in stepping forward. You know, let's talk about what should people be looking for now? Because dare I say, if these show up, there's some things we're going to tell you to do, and then there are going to be some things we're going to tell people not to do, right, today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it depends on what you mean by when these things show up. But, yeah. You know, a lot of the people who I work with have diagnoses of things like irritable bowel syndrome, yeah, chronic abdominal pain, gastric reflux, inflammatory bowel disease. The first thing I would say is definitely see a physician or a medical provider that can give you an evaluation and workup and let you know what's going on, because we don't want to exclude medical treatments that are essential in many cases for these conditions. But then from there, you know, there are a number of things you can do just to pay attention to when your symptoms are occurring and what's going on and the role of stress or psychological factors and how that could be making things worse for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that. I want to come out of the gate, and then we're going to talk about, you know, what do we mean by the gut? And, you know, when I say some of the things that show up, look, I mean, all you need to be doing is sitting around, you know, with the family over the holiday and Uncle Bob can't stop burping. Right. I mean, I don't mean to downplay this, but the factors and the symptoms are showing up more and more every day for everyday people. And mm-hmm. they're showing up in ways where we've normalized them. That's why I really want to bring this conversation right out to the public. Because there are some things that we get used to, right, doctor, where we think, I've been doing that for the past year. Okay, not so good. But let's get underneath this, because psychological causes are what I love to talk about. What are the psychological causes on the top three of your list? Let's hear your list.
You know, so psychological causes, the number one thing that we're thinking about is stress and unmanaged or poorly managed stress, right? So when we think about stress, we're not just talking about the stressors or the problems, we're talking about our body's physical response to stress, that physiological stress reaction. And that for everyone can affect brain-gut communication. When I say gut, you mentioned that earlier, I mean the whole digestive tract. So there are millions of nerve cells and neurons all throughout our GI tract that interact with our nervous system, which is where the stress response is housed, and impact communication with our brain. So stress is one of the primary psychological factors that we're talking about. And when we think about the brain-based factors, there are other things that can be happening. You know, sometimes we can develop what's called hypervigilance to GI symptoms or conditions. And this is a normal reaction when things aren't going well, but we might start to pay a ton of extra attention to our GI tract. And in doing that, we might turn the volume up on sensations in the brain and amplify the pain response. Most of this is not happening consciously. Right? So the kinds of treatments that I provide help people shift their attention away. So those are two of them.
Yeah. The reason I'm asking you this question is because we have seen over the past several years, and this is not the first time we've seen it. I've seen this in our audience and our listeners, back in 09 and 10, when people really were under enormous stress and pressure, you know, the economy was a factor, but so many people went through job loss. We really know what that feels like. We know, I know what it feels like. I studied it for 10 years. But where we're talking about now is something so important you're picking up and you're sharing, because we have to point these things out, because I think we've normalized stress in our day-to-day life. Now, let me explain what I mean. I don't think there's anything about stress, the level we're talking about, that's normal. But what I think we're doing is we're saying, I've raised the bar of what I can tolerate and have now made it normal. But our body and our gut doesn't see it like that. It does, do you think?
Totally. No, I agree with you 100%. And it's led to an increase in the prevalence of the kind of conditions that we're talking about that are affected by stress, mediated, as you mentioned, mediated or moderated by stress. So stress is not necessarily the cause of some of these conditions, but it certainly can be the cause of some of the symptoms and the way that our symptoms are experienced and make the symptoms worse and lead to flares in these conditions. And absolutely, our stress level is higher. Since the pandemic, we've noticed a huge uptick in referrals and demand for our services. And it's because of the tremendous amount of stress that people have been under.
Yeah, I want to get everybody to go see you. Look, you have an entire organization, which of course you're current director of behavioral medicine. I have to say this. Let me just say it because I love this. Is going to make me smile. I'm going to try not to smile too much. Co-director of the Behavioral Medicine for Digestive Health Program at Northwestern Memorial Hospital. I'm smiling. I have to smile because in 1994, when I proposed a thesis to my what do they call them? Committee people. He told me that what I was going to study was going to be passé. And fast forward to where we are today, if it was passé, the effects of life conditions on us, you and I would not be here talking about this, would we? There's nothing passé about stress.
No, no. And I don't think there ever will be.
I can dream, right?
I wish.
Okay.
I wish.
Let's get to the solution, because I'll tell you the one thing that I didn't do is I was never able to provide a solution, but that's where you all come in. Tell us about your organization and tell us about what you all are doing to really say to people, we can help you.
Absolutely. So we're really proud of our team. We have 5 clinical psychologists. I don't know if I already said this. We have 5 clinical psychologists and a research psychologist here at Northwestern Medicine. And we provide these evidence-based treatments like cognitive behavioral therapy, medical hypnotherapy to patients with chronic digestive health conditions. We provide classes on the gut-brain connection. So teaching people about that connection. And at the end of that class, everyone learns a really effective technique called diaphragmatic breathing, which you may have heard of before. And it's very helpful for stress, for GI conditions, for our gut functioning. And then we also provide medical hypnosis, both in individual and group formats. And we work alongside physicians and dietitians and other medical providers. So disciplinary care for our patients.
I never thought that I would have a major hospital on a call with me, with the kind of show we do on holistic healing, and dare I say these things again, clinical hypnotherapy. Because you see, for those of us here that have been doing this 20 years and my own healing journey, I mean, 6 months after I started the show, I came down with a mystery disease, and my only options were to look at the things you talked about. Congratulations to you and the organization. I want to take a moment before we go on, and then we have a few minutes where I'd like to dig a little bit deeper. How do people find out about you? I mean, how do they get connected with you?
So you can learn more about our program by going to nm.org. And we have a whole website where we discuss our program and the types of providers that we have.
Can I ask you this question? I noticed this for a lot of organizations where one of the upsides of COVID-19 is that many organizations, including things like Alcoholics Anonymous, had to like throw their guidelines out the window and say, oh, we're going to do Zoom meetings, right? Mm-hmm. Has telemedicine, has that been a game changer in this particular arena for you?
I would say yes. You know, we have just really increased access to the kinds of treatments that we provide by having telemedicine be something that is, frankly, allowed. There's a lot of good research to suggest and to demonstrate that it's just as effective via telemedicine. Even some of the hypnotherapy that we provide can be provided and just as effectively via telemedicine. So I think that's really remarkable and cool and awesome that we can connect and reach people who previously couldn't access our services for a variety of reasons.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. We were trying to get funding for research just on this, but not on the telemedicine itself, but the pre-telemedicine and stress reduction of doing telemedicine as opposed to coming in the office. I mean, the preliminary, can I call it anecdotal? Yeah, because it's not empirical. Preliminary data says that people that are showing up for telemedicine are showing up more open. They ask more questions. They feel less inhibited being in front of a doctor, but that's another show and another conversation. Look, give us a couple of tips. Get me ready for the holidays. Tell me what I should do and shouldn't do. Please, I'm open.
Yeah. So I think that one of the first things I would recommend you do, if you don't know that diaphragmatic breathing technique, I would look it up. You know, I tell people, I rarely tell people to Google things and search things on the internet. Diaphragmatic breathing is something that you can do. You can safely search. So I would search that and I would try to incorporate this as part of your routine. Again, 2 to 5 minutes a day. Watch yourself in the mirror. Kind of see if your technique is actually what they're demonstrating, right? So many people think they're doing it and that it's not working. And that's usually because they might not be doing it right. So check it out, watch yourself in the mirror, practice. That's number one. A second thing that I would encourage you to do is try to maintain your typical routines, right? So much of that goes out the window. We eat at weird times, we eat different foods, we drink more, we're not prioritizing movement or sleep. All of those things are both going to impact our stress and impact our digestive functioning. So really pay attention to that. And then the final thing I would say is be proactive about self-care. So, you know, notice if you're having that tough conversation with maybe Uncle Bob's not only burping, but he's also giving you all grief, right? So, you
know, that is Uncle Bob.
find other things you can do to kind of, don't just let that simmer, right? Do something actively about it, whether that's breathing or going on a walk or calling a friend who makes you laugh, right?
I'm sorry. I have a laughing dog. I have an electric, I don't want to even bring it on the show, but I may actually have Jacob put it in the clip. I actually have a laughing dog. It's battery operated, but anytime I'm feeling crazy, I turn that thing on. I want to thank you so much. I mean, this is short interviews. I know you have to go, but there are many things that we could say to people. Let me just say this, and please, for your final message, you can comment. There are some things that you've gotten very uncomfortable with in your life, and it's no shame, no guilt, no blame to you all. These have been extraordinary times, but eating in a reclining chair as you're watching TV compresses your digestive system. Your food doesn't go down. Just think for a minute. What might you change ever so slightly and get yourself relief? Dr. Tomasina, what are your thoughts?
I love what you just said. You know, those are the subtle things that we're not paying attention to. Those are the behaviors that I work with people to change. And in fact, we regularly do experiments where people stop watching TV while eating, right? Because that can make a big difference. You know, I would say my takeaway would be to combine with your message, you know, pay attention to these things. You don't have to live suffering with chronic digestive complaints, get them addressed, try something different, pay attention to your habits. And remember, this isn't all in your head, even though the brain is playing a role. These are real things that are happening and that can be changed.
Yeah. I want to tell everybody, please go to nm.org. But I want to say this also, these are things you have the control and the power to change. There are so many things in life you don't. Please check this out. Please get a hold of Dr. Catherine Tomasina. The whole team over there, please look this up. And even if it's not you, what we've learned on this show is pay it forward, pass it on, give out the website. You can Google, again, I'm saying it. You can Google her name, Tomasino. Thank you, doctor, for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody. And I hope Uncle Bob, you do not listen to this. Thank you all. We're going to be doing an entire series on gut health as we move forward. Maybe Dr. Kate will come back. We'll see you all in a minute. We'll be right back.